It really is true what they say. You are what you eat. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is a special web exclusive. As we head into flu season here with the coronavirus still with us, what can we do to strengthen ourselves, our immune system, against this twin onslaught, as it were? Actually, there are some very common sense things, and some of it includes what you eat as part of your daily routine. Joining me to discuss some of this basic common sense advice, the team from Eden's Essentials online, edensessentials.com. We welcome back Bree Graffia and product development manager Daniel Belt. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Some of the food that we eat here in the United States, we've been told for years, you know, fat's bad. But we haven't heard a whole lot about things like sugars, processed foods, carbohydrates and stuff. Common sense, what do we know now in terms of what we should be putting into our bodies and how it affects us?
A couple of really interesting things you said there. The more I learn about our healthy fats, the more I want them in our body. My husband and I actually started putting cold-pressed, unrefined coconut oil, organic coconut oil, in our coffee. And it makes it taste like an artisan coconut coffee. But ours is straight from the coconuts, and we really love it and enjoy it. And we get our healthy fats in because they're essential for brain function, nerves. That's the only, we've talked about this, it's the only enzyme that can help break down fats and burn fats is in fats. So if you're fat-free, then there's a chance that you're doing your body an injustice if you're trying to lose some weight, as long as they're healthy fats.
Because sugar gets converted to fats, but if you're not eating the healthy fats, it can't break the fat down, so you're just storing it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then on top of that, so things you want to stay away from, though, would be your trans fats or foods that come the best way, this is like a rule in our house or a rule of thumb, I should say. If it comes in a plastic bag or it comes pre-bagged, chances are it's not good for you. Those are the processed foods and things that we stay away from. Now, that's not saying that there's no organically bagged foods, but in our house, we just stay away from it because also I don't want to, you know, look up six ingredients. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Another rule of thumb, maybe come down to laziness in our house, but if it has more than five ingredients, I'm over it. We just don't get it in the store. We don't bring it home, and we're probably healthier for it. Simple things that you can do to kind of avoid that, along with sugar. Yeah. Avoiding sugar due to the fact that your body can either fight pesticides, it can fight off processed foods, it can fight off excitotoxins, all these things. It just kind of, it views it as an invader. It doesn't differentiate between these things. All it sees is invader and must attack it. So it's either focusing on fighting those things or keeping your immune system healthy and vital.
What's an example of an excitotoxin?
There's a lot of them, but for instance, MSG. And also, I was joking because excitotoxins make you excited about the food. The name's literally just tells you exactly what it is. But I was like, I don't know if it actually tastes like what I think it tastes like or if it tastes like chalk, but the chemical in it is telling my brain, eat more.
Oh, okay. And just for clarification, these excitotoxins, because people may or may not really know what that is, we just identified one of them that they use, MSG, which they think of as is probably the most common of those, is they elicit hormonal reactions. So it's actually telling you how you feel about something as opposed to you're telling you how you feel about something. So it actually supplants kind of your free will. Mm-hmm. And it tells you cellularly that you're going to have an emotional reaction to the foods. And that's part of how they get us hooked on so many of these things.
Okay. You know?
And yeah, and it's very present in a vast number of things, especially processed foods.
So you wind up to the point where you're literally addicted to these foods that are harming you.
Yes. And that, and therein lies, again, that's the, like, America's health struggles are the diseases of excess. And we're being compelled to that excess outside of our choosing. Mm-hmm. And that's why this is especially dangerous. That's why we're paying prices that other countries really aren't. It's not because they're not going there. It's just we got there first because we've supplanted that which cannot be traded, which is being nourished, being peaceful, having, you know, being having good labor and sleep and the, kind of the basic aspects of human life that make it go round. It shows that our priorities have not been there. But the real, and as you'd let in the previous episode, is there's real hope for us because at any moment we can change direction. We don't have to choose. We do have choices here in America with these things. There are these things and we can choose to put our money where our mouth is and make something better for ourselves and, most importantly, for those that follow us. For me, at least, and I've seen this over many, many years working with thousands and thousands of people is the truth bearing witness to itself. Almost anybody I'd ever seen that really truly committed to it, they changed accordingly. And I think this gives us a measure of the victory and peace we're promised on earth. Mm-hmm. Again, not that perfection, but that we are promised victories and we are promised peace while we live. And I think, you know, when I think of how we do it, when people suffer and struggle in the way we do, I think that gets overlooked a lot.
Sugar is more than just something that compels your body to pack on extra pounds. There are other health effects to sugar. What are some of these things that sugar is doing to us?
It's a really great question. Sugar leads to inflammation. So again, your body can either spend time fighting inflammation or fighting pesticides or fighting off these things and removing trans fats and processed foods, or it can focus on your immune system and building it up and keeping it in a vital or in a good place.
So sugar, in a sense, you think of those, you know, like military films where a plane is being tracked by a missile and they deploy countermeasures and causes the missile to go off track. Mm-hmm. In a sense, sugar or these excitotoxins are like the countermeasures that get your body's immune system away from targeting the real problem, which is the other toxins or whatever. Instead,
viruses,
it's off viruses and so forth. Instead, it's off chasing this other stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So it literally redeploys energy. It's kind of like Star Trek with like reroute all power to the shields.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, the stuff's coming in. Let's you know, and then in turn, it has to subvert the other systems of the body in order to.
And it's always life support that gets that, to defend the shields. But that's kind of what
is literally the thing. I mean, that's what we struggle with, because if we didn't do that, what we would get in return is all that abundance of energy would then go to maintenance, vitality, detoxification, and most importantly, promoting a growing body, mm-hmm. you know, one that grows, but and in our consciousness and in every part of our being is tied to our ability to fulfill these requirements.
Yeah, well, I can speak to that just from experience, just seeing how Sharon's health has changed mm-hmm. over the last 5 years since we've come here, and she's dropped 118 pounds now.
And you have too.
Well, I've not dropped some, but not 118, but I can tell, but both of us are able to focus longer than. She had been talking about writing this series of fiction that she's been working on now since we got here, since we met. Okay, so over 23 years ago, she was talking about it, but she didn't actually start on it until 4 years ago because she never felt well enough to sit there and focus long enough. And now she's about ready to finish novel number 7 over the last 4 years, which gives you an idea of what can be accomplished when you actually reprogram your body mm-hmm. and stop deploying all power to the shields and taking it away from life support. Well, let's talk about some of the other things, though, that can then bolster the shields, as it were. Mm-hmm. I know that mushrooms is something that's really attracted a lot of attention to Eden's Essentials. What is it about these things and the fermentation aspect of it? I still don't quite have my head around it. Why does it make this such a powerful supplement to help your body fight off these invaders?
Right. Well, actually, especially with the research that's come in recent years, I mean, even up into very recently, there's no way to unpack the powerful and profound nature of them. Like, it is literally, it's unbelievable. If I was to just sit here and create a list of how awesome it is, most people wouldn't believe you. You know, but to kind of narrow it down, like, Eden's Essentials has a product, our organic mushroom blend. What they use is what's called the mycelial biomass. And mycelial is a living network that lives underneath the ground and connects the entire, like, say, forest together. And it literally talks from one end of that forest to another. And it will redistribute nutrients. So like, okay, so this tree has too much phosphorus. Let's move it around over and send it to this one. So it's like a communication and delivery network. And it also pulls nutrients from the soil to deliver those to these trees, and that's a part of its metabolic process. Well, humans actually have a high degree of this as well. Hmm. And so in the Eden's product, it being fermented, to your point, what it does is it breaks down the fibrous aspect of it and unlocks those nutrients. So it gives us a product that has a level of nutrients that so many products really just can't get access to, because you have to create some kind of extract to get at those nutrients. Just for example, just to pick one, I'll talk about beta-glucans. Beta-glucans is a nutrient of a great number of them that are in mushrooms that are probably, at least what we can identify, some of the greatest immune stimulators that we have. So per WebMD about beta-glucans, they're taken for a whole host of range. I'm just going to give a few of these. I'm not going to go through the whole list because there isn't time. But high cholesterol, diabetes, cancer, autoimmune disorders, high blood pressure, chronic fatigue syndrome, colds, influenza, specifically swine flu, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, irritable bowel syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, and multiple sclerosis. And there's others, but I'm just picking the ones. And the big ones here being the flu. And there was a study that came recently, I want to say it was January, that really showed its ability to deal with some of these flus that have correlation. We can't say it directly does that with COVID because it's a new thing, and the mushrooms weren't really studied to that particular strain of that flu. But where there's a lot of correlation in other areas, it's almost always leads to at least some crossover. So these are really powerful immune things. And just the wide range, which I just said, of things it can address, promotes the idea that at a base state of health, it allows the body to then go and get at many of these particular types of situations.
Now, I know that you've also wanted to talk about vitamin C a little bit, which I think most viewers would be very familiar with vitamin C. It's like, oh, yeah, we know vitamin C is a really good deal, and we get that from orange juice or from a multivitamin. What is the difference? I mean, how should we be consuming vitamin C, and what is the benefit?
Vitamin C is, even though we all know, and it's been told us probably since we were kids, you know, it's like awesome orange juice full of C, and that's the thing that keeps you well. And vitamin C is that important. It's involved in a vast number of enzymatic and metabolic reactions in the body. So you need a lot of it, and you need it on a regular basis because it is water soluble. Your body will not store it, will not keep it, so you can't ride on yesterday's supply. You have to have it on the regular. And there's a lot of foods that have it, which is by design, so that people around the world can have access. So that's in the form of, commonly we'll think of oranges, lemons, limes, pineapples, citrus fruits, and that's all true. But it's also really dense in peppers, like cayenne pepper is one of the highest levels of vitamin C that exists. Green peppers is really high, red peppers, and things like that. So there's many, many foods that have them. But the one thing I'd mention too, because you'd mentioned juice, is we are not meant to get vitamin C that way. And this actually is tied to the sugar. So what allows us to regulate sugar is the fact that it comes with fiber. So every single sugar on earth comes with fiber that comes from any food, any like fruit, vegetable, anything like that. And the other thing it has is enzymes. So that when you go and you peel apart that orange and you eat, chew on it, your saliva and your teeth will masticate that down, and it'll start the enzymatic process here, digesting and regulating it. Right. So then when you swallow it, the fiber can't be digested. So it slows sugar down. Mm-hmm. It makes you the ability for your body to absorb it go slower. And this is not coincidence. It's design, you know. And so whenever we subvert that by juicing it and then removing the fiber and then we pasteurize it, which destroys the enzymes, the two things that regulate the sugar. So it's not that, it's even not so far that sugar is bad for us. It is the manner in which we're doing it. It's kind of, you know, you don't want to just go by the letter, you want to go by the spirit of it. And so that's definitely the case for that. I'm using fruits as an example, but that's true for all sugars.
Another food that most people have in their kitchen that I've heard a lot about is oregano. What is the benefit of oregano? And again, how should we be consuming it?
Oregano is one of my favorite things to use, especially when it comes to illnesses in our home. First, I think it's important to note that a lot of the times when you go to the doctor for a virus, you're actually getting prescribed an antibiotic, which is antibacteria. So it, not only does it kill bad bacteria, but unfortunately it goes in and it really eliminates a lot of the good bacteria that we need, which comes from processing like fermentation and things that we want that good bacteria. It's, you know, keeps our gut powerful, so to speak. So an antibiotic can't necessarily treat a virus because it's for a bacteria, not a virus.
Right,
so
right.
You're
two
eliminating, yes, you're eliminating that good bacteria that might help you fight off that virus. And on top of that, it's not really doing anything to kill the virus. But oregano is one of my favorite things because while a virus may be harder to help pass on, it's why the flu lasts longer, I think, sometimes than strep or different things like that, at least in my own experiences. But I mean, then again, I took the antibiotic for the strep at that time. This was many years ago. My point is that oregano is amazing because it has some antibacterial, some antifungal, and also some antiviral properties. And it's a natural thing that you probably have in your kitchen. And for my husband and I would say that we love to take it, but it's got such a strong taste that that might be a little bit of a overstatement there, especially I like force it on him almost when he's like feeling ill or anything to that nature. And we actually were taking just like organic dried leaves. The oregano that we actually have from Eden's Essentials is different. It's a better formulation and there's more in it. And I could go on and on about it. Plus it's in a capsule, so you don't have to taste it as much, which is a benefit too. anyone taking it. If anyone's had dry oregano before, somebody over oregano's your spaghetti sauce or whatever the case, it can be a lot. It's definitely too much at times. But when it comes down to doing that or being sick, for us, it's helped us in our home to fight off some of those symptoms and heal faster. So I've appreciated it.
Yeah, and it's really one of the great things to have on hand. It's not, it's something we're supposed to take every day, but instead of running to that Tylenol or that whatever we normally would keep in our cabinet for whatever ailment's getting us, it's the thing to have on hand. Because usually if you're starting to catch something, especially bacterial and fungal, if you get it in the beginning, it doesn't have the same kind of counter effect that a straight antibiotic would do that would further rob you of immunity.
Mm. So again, there are some basic things that you can do, some common sense things, just in terms of eating, reducing sugar intake or eliminating it if you can. Also, as we've talked before about when you eat being as important as what you eat. Just touch on that for just a moment or two. What is the practice of intermittent fasting and why is that beneficial?
Yeah, intermittent fasting has shown a vast spectrum of benefits physiologically, but a huge portion of that is immunologically, and it really gives the digestion a break. And we're not necessarily meant to intermittent fast every day, but we're meant to do it regularly, and that's really where you shorten your eating window. And I think this is more difficult than a lot of people realize because they don't realize what all has calories. So if you're putting cream in your milk or cream in your coffee, rather, you've just broke your fast. You know, but generally, a few times a week, what we want to do is shorten that window. What I would first recommend to people is try to get it to 12 hours where you don't ingest any calories in that time, and then gradually increase that to try to get to 11, then 10, then ultimately 8. You know, just a few times a week. And what that does is it gives you a metabolic break, kind of what you were saying earlier about how when we eat something that causes us digestive distress, even when we eat good things and we need to, it still takes energy to metabolize it. We're burning calories. So we need to give that a break sometimes so it can then redirect the energy that it's doing that for and, you know, put it towards other aspects, you know, and biblically, obviously it says when we fast, not if we fast.
Mm. So the bedtime snack, always a bad idea.
Generally, I'm always hard. I always, you know, kind of hedge my bets with that kind of stuff. I almost would never recommend it, but maybe if you're working second shift or third shift or something, there could be reasons.
Yeah, yeah. But again, at least a few times a week, try to get that eating window down 12 hours and then 10 and eventually 8, because otherwise your body is never actually finished with the previous meal when you're getting it started on the next one. And the health impact of that is a lot bigger than you would think. Lots of advice and lots of other supplements and nutritional guides available at edensessentials.com. Again, Daniel, Bree, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Derek.
We pray that you take advantage of this this opportunity. Can people reach out to you guys for just questions as far as products or just general questions about nutrition and eating and so forth through the website?
Yeah, we generally respond to questions of people that, well, just what you're saying. It could be over any number of things, and they can email us.
Info@edensessentials.com,
and we do our very best to serve everybody until they're satisfied.
All right. Well, we pray this season goes by uneventfully for you and that the twindemic passes over all of us and all of you as well. We thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is SkyWatch TV.